Hi, everyone. My name is Emily. I grew up coming to this church, and many of you do know that about 4 years ago, I walked through lymphoma. So I had this terrible cancer diagnosis happen. If you didn't know that, that's what happened to me when I was 21. So that experience was a huge part of my faith journey, but I'm here to tell you that it's not the end of my story, and it's my faith is still growing, and I'm still learning each and every single day. So, and I recall in the moments during and shortly after my treatment that I felt an extreme closeness to God. I remember feeling like I was just soaking up his presence and just walking with him in a way that I really hadn't experienced before. I just felt like I was truly relying on him. And then time goes on, new challenges come, and now at 25, I have a new set of problems, things like fear, anxiety, worrying about the future, envy, and these things look totally different than a cancer diagnosis. So in a way, it's like you'd think I'd be super strong and that my faith would be amazing and perfect and just having grown exponentially since then, but if I'm being real, my faith is still, it's a daily thing. So that's the one of the big things that I'm learning that I wanted to share with you guys is like, even after a huge victory like that, my faith is really still a daily walk. So it's been really humbling, and I'm really thankful for a God gracious and patient enough to stay with me when he brings me through these really dark valleys, and then I go full-blown golden calf, getting distracted by other things. In a way, you would sort of, like I said, you would think that it would really just shape my faith, and I'd be able to keep pushing forward with that faith and tackle new things without batting an eye, but that's just not how life is. It's not how my life is, and that's not my experience. So, these days, I really, you know, just knowing and understanding that my faith is a daily thing is really just helping me be more intentional with my time and be less hard on myself when I do start to err towards anxiety and comparison and fear. I'm just really grateful for a God that is so patient and so gracious with me, and that's where I'm at. My story is still going, my faith is still growing. It's here, then it's here, then it's here, then it's here. But at my core, I know that God is going to come through for me. And that cancer experience that I went through played a huge part in just me believing that in my core. And it has really just helped me look at my life through that lens. It's definitely made my faith stronger. And that can't be taken away from me, but It's still a daily thing, and I'm just really grateful to God for his love and his kindness, his grace and his patience with somebody like me. So thank you guys for listening.
Good stuff. Thank you, Emily. That was fantastic. This is my story. Everybody's got a story. Nobody gets the story they want, but everybody's story matters to God. And today we're going to look at a young lady much like Emily. And she was brought up in a critical time, in a critical moment in the history of the Jewish people. And she was an incredible example for all of us that we can learn from. Her name is Esther. And we're going to look at how we can respond in difficult times and how we can do what God has called us to do. And so we're going to look at today how to shine brightly. How many know we live in a dark world? It's a dark world. We need men and women and teenagers and people like Emily. Sorry, Mark, I'm going to hit you with the Bible. We need people like Emily and Mark and you to step up during dark times and to shine brightly. And so we're going to look at that today. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. So let's look up on the screen. We're going to have a couple quotes on how to shine brightly. I do this every week. Martin Luther King says the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and the cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. Desmond Tutu says this: if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen to be on the side of the oppressor. Mother Teresa said, I cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water to create ripples. In any given moment, we have two options. We can either step forward into growth or step back into safety. Steve Jobs says, the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Silence becomes cowardice when occasion demands speaking out the whole truth. And Robert Kennedy said this: each time a man stands up for an ideal, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Esther was brought up in a critical time. She wasn't perfect. She was adopted because both her parents died. She was an immigrant, which I think is interesting. The past couple of weeks, we've looked at a lot of immigrants. It's not a political statement, it's a biblical statement. Esther was brought from one country to another country. She was an orphan, she was an immigrant. She lost her mom and dad, and if anyone had the right to throw in the towel, if anybody had the right to quit, if anybody had the right to say, you know what, this is not for me, it would have been Esther. But something was going on. God was up to something. Because as God was working in Esther's life, the enemy was working in the life of a man named Haman. And his goal, like Hitler, was to kill off all of the Jews. And he had a plan, he had a strategy, and he was working behind the scenes, and the entire Jewish population was at stake. And through a series of incredible events, Esther was groomed, and she became queen. She was selected among a number of women throughout the nation, and she was picked to become the queen. And she was sitting in a royal position. She was sitting in a place of authority. And her uncle, Mordecai, came to her and said, Esther, you've got to shine. Esther, there's some bad things going on, and you've got to step up. You've got to do something. You can't do everything, but you can do something, Esther. And if you don't rise up, if you don't stand up, if you don't speak up, if you don't do something, deliverance is going to come for the Jews. It will come from a different place, but you and your father's home will perish. And Esther made an incredible decision. She said, I've got to do this. It's time for me to shine. I know I got a bad background. I know I got a bad past, but it's time for me to shine. And Esther made this great statement: if I perish, I perish. And Esther, one little orphan immigrant without a mom and dad, stepped up and saved, watch this church, an entire generation of Jewish men and women and boys and girls. Amen. To this day, they still celebrate, the Jewish people celebrate the courage of Esther. Amen. And so today we're going to talk about how you can shine. Now, church, are y'all with me? I'm not here to put more pressure on you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to let you know today that people are counting on you. I'm here to let you know today that you can shine. I'm here today to tell you, like Emily and like Esther, you can make a difference. Your voice matters. Your talent matters. Your gifting matters. Your calling matters. Your life matters. And just like Esther, she spoke up, she stepped up, and she saved an entire generation of men and women. You can do the same thing. And God wants to use you today to be like Esther and to shine brightly. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's look real quickly. I'm going to give you six points that can help you to learn how to shine. By the way, Esther, her name means shining star. Wow. Amazing. When her mom and dad named her, little did they know that Esther was going to shine. She was going to be a shining star. So point number one, you shine the brightest when you sense the urgency of the day. You shine the brightest when you sense the urgency of the day. There's something going on in your life. There's something going on in your business. There's something going on in your neighborhood. There's something going on in your school. There's something going on in your church. There's something going on in your nation. There's something going on in your marriage. And we as believers have to have an urgency that we are in tune. We are sensing. We are aware of what's going on. There's an urgency going on. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to panic. But sometimes it's good to have an urgency. How many know that when you sense an urgency, things get done? Amen. And we're not lackadaisical. We're not just que sera, sera, whatever the day will be. Whatever. No, there's an urgency to our faith and an urgency to what's going on around us. And you shine brightest when you sense and see that there's an urgency. Mordecai, her uncle, said that Haman is looking for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people. And you've got to step up and do something. So I would encourage you today, number one, you shine brightest when you sense that there's an urgency for you to do something. Can I get an amen? Number two, you shine the brightest when you don't allow your past to define your future. I'm going to say that again. You shine the brightest when you don't allow your past to define your future. See, watch, she was an orphan. She was an immigrant. She was adopted. She had all the strikes against her, but she did not allow her past to define her future. Now, let's talk shop for a couple minutes. How many would admit that all of us have something in our past that we would like to forget? About four of you. We've all got mistakes, sins. Thank God he uses a big eraser. For some of us, a big eraser. A jumbo eraser. And God is able to erase the past mistakes. What I love about Esther was she was not camping out in the past. She was living in the future, and she was not going to allow the sins, the mistakes that she has made in the past to define her future. And as I was studying this week, I just sensed that there'd be somebody here today that the past is pulling you back. The past, it's like a rope, and we don't have time today, but I was going to get a rope, and I was just going to illustrate the fact that the past loves just to pull, and it's a force, and every time you try to step forward, your past pulls you back. I'm grateful today that the Bible says the Lion of Judah is available to break every chain. If you want to move forward, you've got to cut that rope. You've got to cut that chain so that you can become all that God wants you to be. And the enemy would love for you to hang out in your past. The enemy would love for you to focus on your sins. The enemy would love to focus on the things that you've done in the past, the marks against you. But Esther, she was able to shine brightly because she did not allow her past to define her future. I've got great news for you today, church. The future is bright, and you're going to shine, and you're going to make a difference because you're not going to allow your past to determine your destiny that is in front of you. Amen. Shine brightly. Can I get an amen? Amen? Number three, quickly. You shine the brightest when you understand that people are counting on you. People are counting on you. At the end of Esther chapter 4, Mordecai says, you've got to go to the king. You've got to beg for mercy and plead with him not to allow Haman to kill all these Jews. See, I think Esther came to a point in her life where she said, you know what? There are people that are counting on me. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. In fact, I was really encouraged this week. I went out to lunch with somebody in the church here. I was really encouraged. They said that they actually, husband and wife, kids, they actually went home last Sunday and talked about my message. That really encouraged me. I mean, you got people sleeping, right? You got people on their iPhone. You got people, you know. They actually went home as a husband and wife and discussed. Oh, by the way, guys, this would be a really good idea for you. How about going home this week and actually talking something spiritual with your wife? Let's not count on the ladies to do it. I've been to church all my life. Church has always been lady-driven. Now, I'm in trouble. I didn't even plan to say this. I don't know if this is DEI or not. I don't know if this is woke to say or not, but it's reality. Most churches are women-driven. Well, I'm going to get an email on this one. How about guys step up and take initiative and actually discuss and talk about spiritual things? How about go home and talk about what we talked about on Sunday? Just a novel thought. Now, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. It's a little bit of homework. I want you to get a sheet of paper out, and I just want you to list out the people that are counting on you. See, you're here and you think you're insignificant. You're here today and you think your life doesn't matter. You're here today and you think you don't have a story. But I want you to start to visualize and start to write out the people that are counting on you. And I don't want it to overwhelm you. I don't want it to put more pressure on you. But I think it's healthy to look and to see the people that are counting on you to shine brightly. Start with your kids. Start with your grandkids. Start with your, Ron, great-great-grandkids. The people at work, the people that you employ, the people in your neighborhood. Here's one, the unsaved people that are looking for somebody to be different. And that could be you. And every once in a while, we pull out this list, we go, man, these are the people that are counting on me. I'm not going to complain about how dark it is. I'm going to light a light, and the light is me, and I'm going to be the light of the world, and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to shine brightly because people are counting on me, including God. He's counting on you to step up. There's people in jeopardy. There's a whole generation that is getting ready to be executed. And God is wanting you and I to shine brightly and to step up and to realize that people are counting on us to live holy. They're counting on us to live righteously. They're counting on us to make a difference. They're counting on us to shine brightly. There's people counting on you today. And we need men and women, young adults, teenagers, boys and girls to have that urgency that in these dark days, people are counting on me. And if I don't do something, somebody else will. But God's going to pick somebody to step up and make a difference. I hope it's you. I hope it's you. So this week when I see you in the halls, I'm going to ask you for your list of people that are counting on you. I want to see that you have that awareness that people are counting on you to shine brightly like Esther. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, number four, we got to go quick. Number four, you shine brightly when as royalty you step up, stand up, and speak up for others. As royalty, everyone say royalty. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you are a royal priesthood? You're not only saints, you're royalty. And there's something about royalty. There's something about the king and queen of England. Their presence just is incredible. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. And it's not confidence in you and your ability. It's confidence in God. And every once in a while, we need to be reminded that we are royalty. Start to walk like it. Start to act like it. Start to make an influence like you are royalty. And royalty, the Bible says that our goal is to step up, to stand up, and to speak up for others. You shine brightly when you act like royalty, and you stand up, and you speak up, and you step up to make a difference. We won't go there today, but in Luke chapter 4, this is really interesting. Watch this. Bible says that Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth. How many know that when you go back to your hometown, people have an image of the way you're supposed to be? Little Scott George. He went back to Nazareth. He went back to his hometown, and he went to church. Minded his business. The Bible says he was sitting down in the back row, in the balcony, minding his business, and suddenly Jesus, watch this, realized, I'm royalty. It's my time. Like Esther, he realized that he could no longer sit, but it was time for him to stand. And the Bible says, look it up, in Luke chapter 4, they were in the middle of a worship service, and the Bible says that Jesus stood up, walked right down the center aisle, grabbed the scroll, turned to Isaiah, and Jesus began to speak with power and authority. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. See, I'm just that little Jesus boy that you knew 20 years ago. See, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me. And he starts to read from Isaiah. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. He's anointed me to free those that are oppressed. He's anointed me to heal and to make a difference. And the people in the church were freaking out. Amen. I mean, imagine if one little kid that grew up in the preschool comes walking down the middle aisle and grabs a Bible out of my hand and starts to preach and starts to say, God's anointed me. It would get your attention. But Jesus knew that it was time for him to stand up and speak up and step up. And he stepped up in an authority. Watch this. He stepped up like royalty. It wasn't an ego thing. It was a calling that God had placed on his life. And he stood up and he started to read from Isaiah. And as soon as he finished reading Isaiah's scroll, he rolled it up. And he sat back down. See, if you're going to shine brightly, you've got to know when to stand and when to sit. And as he was sitting there, look it up in Luke chapter 4. We've got some great theologians in this church. The Bible says the eyes of everyone were fastened on him. The Bible says that the eyes, the community, the internet was ablaze, and their eyes were fixed on Jesus. See, just like Esther knew when it was time to stand, and she knew when it was time to sit. There's a time to stand, there's a time to speak, there's a time to sit down, there's a time to be quiet. But in your life and what's going on in your neighborhood and your marriage and your business, you've got to have an understanding of when it's time to stand. And when you stand up as royalty. And I'm afraid, are y'all with me this morning? I'm afraid that the enemy has spoken so many lies to some of you and belittled you and berated you. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. Every day he wakes up, and his goal is to beat you up and to tear you down and to speak evil about you. And I've said this a million times in the past 15 years of this church. Many of us are more in tune with what the enemy says about us than we are with what God says about us. And you believe the lies. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. And he's been lying to you. You can't make a difference. You don't need to speak up. Look what you've done. Stay seated. Let somebody else do it. And he is bombarding us with negative words that influence us. And God says today, you're royalty. You're not defined by your past. I want you to step up, Esther. You can make a difference. You can save a generation. It's time to step up and to speak up. You're royalty. And that's what God is saying to you today. Can I get an amen? Number five, do what God has called you to do. You shine brightest when you do what God has called you to do. Let me ask you a question today. What's your calling? Thank you, Mark. Your calling is to get my suit fixed up here. What are you called to do? What's your calling? Do you know your calling? Do you know your gifting? Do you know what your purpose is? You shine brightest when you know what you're called to do. I told you I went out to lunch with somebody this week, and in a conversation they were talking about they didn't understand their spiritual calling. I went right home to Amazon and bought a book, and I'm going to give it to them. It's called You Are Called by a friend of mine, John Bevere. I'm going to give it to them. They're not here today, so I'll give it to them next week. What's your calling? You got to be clear about it. You got to understand. You got to know what it is. As I was studying this, I remember, man, when I first was called into the ministry. 1982. Miraculously just called. Just was turned from a life of just wandering to a life of purpose. I went to a retreat and got radically called into the ministry. 3 days later, I'm preaching in front of 200 junior high kids. I accepted my first job in the ministry, making $50 a week. We had 16 high schools all throughout Central Florida, 16. And every day, I'd wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go preach at Winter Park High School at a campus club. For lunch, I'd go to Evans High School, preach during lunchtime, and I'd finish it up at Boone in the afternoon. Did it 5 days a week. It cost me $45 in gas, and I made $50. I made $5 a week. Loved every minute of it. Worked full-time at a men's clothing store. Put myself through college, but I was called. I remember the first time I was asked to speak at a youth retreat. Tammy, you'll remember this. It was down in Fort Lake Worth, Florida. And they asked me to come down and do a youth camp. It was my first time I ever did it. They called me up, invited me. I thought, man, this is cool. They said, we'll pay for your gas. I said, oh, this is really cool. I went to a youth camp, preached Friday night, all day Saturday night, Sunday morning. And they gave me $75 to do it. And I drove home going, this is amazing. It cost me $50 in gas. So I made $25 that weekend. And every other week, I was making $5 a week. But guess what? I loved every minute of it. Why? Because I knew I was called. And you're called too. You may not be called to be a pastor or a full-time ministry, but you're called. Moms, you're called. There's a calling on you. And you got to know what your calling is. You got to know what your purpose is. You got to know why you were born. Two greatest days in your life is the day that you were born and the day you discover why. And you show me people who understand what their purpose is and what their calling is, and I'll show you somebody who's getting traction, somebody who's making a difference. And the reason Esther was able to stand up was because she knew her calling. God, you have ordained me for this moment. I'm in royal position for this moment. How can I not step up? And she stepped up because she understood her divine calling. Number six, are you still with me? You shine brightest when you break the safety barrier. Esther says this, I will go to the king. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. I'll go to the king, and even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Let me ask y'all a question. Are you willing, she says, even if it's against the law, I'm going to do it. Are you willing to get arrested to do what God's called you to do? Amen. Are you? Paul was arrested. And Esther said, even if it's against the law, if I perish, I perish. What was Esther doing? She was breaking the safety barrier. See, when you step forward, you grow. When you step back, you decay. And I'm not mad at anybody today. I don't have an enemy in this church. I love you guys. I love every single one of you. But I'm afraid. Some of us are in a safety barrier. We're playing it safe. We're coasting. We're not willing to take the risks. We're not willing to step up. We're not willing to stand up. We're not willing to step forward, and we're just in a safety barrier. And I can tell you today, today's message wraps up right here. Break the safety barrier. Do what you're afraid to do. Do what you've never done before. Don't be safe. Be risky. Be bold. And Esther said, if it's against the law, so be it. If I perish, I perish. You got nothing to lose by living a life that stands up and speaks up and steps up. You have nothing to lose. Break the safety barrier. Now, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what your comfort zone is. I don't know. But God wants you to step up and break the safety barrier. And only you can do it. Esther says, if I perish, I perish. And here's the end of the story. She stepped up. An entire generation of Jewish people were saved because she broke the safety barrier. What's the fear that's keeping you today? And whatever it is, break through today. The Lion of Judah breaks every chain.